It's the True Faith podcast. Newcastle United 1, Blackburn 1 post FA Cup review. There's also been plenty spoken about this potential or alleged takeover of Newcastle United weekend. So you've got myself, Alex Hurst and Paul Lyon to talk to you about all of that on this free True Faith podcast. This podcast is supported by FansBet, the unique gambling company who share 50% of its net profits with selected fan partners. If you like a gamble on the football or any other sport, I would advise you check them out. If you don't, then leave it well alone. And we're also supported by our patrons who pay £5-ish a month for about 30 extra podcasts on Newcastle United through the platform of Patreon. So if you like what you hear, please check that out. Paul, how are you? I've just spoke to your fan. You've just about recovered from the magic that was Newcastle 1, Blackburn 1 yesterday.
I'm very well, mate. Aye. You can't really beat the magic of the cup, can you?
Definitely not in the mic, Ashley. I mean, like your very well-timed tweet said afterwards, we're still in the draw for the fourth round. Positives. And
that's what we're clinging on to, lads. Come on, this is our year. How are you?
Definitely. And I mean, tell us a little bit about your day. Who did you go to the match with? Where did you sit? What was your experience like?
Well, I took the opportunity to take my young son. Some might say it's child cruelty, but I didn't get away with it, so he certainly isn't. I took the opportunity to do that. It was obviously the tickets were nice and cheap, which credit the club for that. £10 for me and £5 for him. And basically, we had a couple of seats in the Platinum Club. Bit of a change from your usual perch at in the Strawberry Corner. So yeah, and I went along with a couple of the usual match day going lads, and they brought their sons as well. Had me and they were all similar age. They're all around 3 and 4 year old. Going to that first game, I had my dad and my nephew were there, usual suspects, you know. But it was just generally a really good day. In terms of how the lads found it and their experience, they managed to all sit through the game, which is a credit to them. There's a few left early, and I noticed even though we're sort of pushing and scored that late goal. On the whole, it was a decent day.
Well, that's good to hear, and there's always positives to take, isn't there? Despite what we saw on the pitch, and you know, one thing's for sure.
Yeah.
Your young'un will be able to tell his grandkids that he saw Newcastle score penalties in St James' Park, because it's so infrequent to get them that'll probably be the next time it happens. I mean, I didn't quite know what was happening when the referee pointed to the spot, but Matt Ritchie does what he does best, and you know, Rafa after the game is quoted quite rightly as saying the draw is the worst case scenario for us. Another game, more risk, more injury. Was that your feeling? You know, were you kind of thinking it full time? Like, you know, would rather? I mean, that Rafa is clearly saying the worst case scenario is the draw. He'd rather have lost the game than got a draw. What are your thoughts on it?
I understand his viewpoint, but you know, it's an opportunity for fans again at Ewood Park, and it's normally a canny trip. But in terms of the squad, it's pretty much it'll be the same 11. Depending on if Lejeune's fit and like to go in the first team, he might even come out with that side that played yesterday, because we'll need to sort of protect him. But in terms of like a bit of a fixture pile up, we could have probably done without it, and I do understand where he's saying like it's like we should have really went out to either just all guns blazing to win and at the risk of losing, and just try and get like an outcome on the night. I do understand that, definitely.
I'm going to be a little bit critical of him, because if the draw is the worst case scenario, bring Rondon on for the last 15 minutes, or start. This is the thing. I get it. I understand why pretty much every single Premier League team, if not every single Premier League team, apart from maybe those at the top, would play a rotated team this weekend. Our rotated team is much worse than every other rotated team in the league, because we are much worse than pretty much every other team in the league, apart from maybe Cardiff and Huddersfield. I don't know why we don't just put everyone out, win the game comfortably. You saw the impact that the likes of Perez, Shelby had when they came on. If you were to throw Rondon into that and played Dummett and Yedlin, because with the fullbacks yesterday were dire. Not that they were the only ones. But yeah, it's just a strange comment to me, and I understand it. And you know, me and you, Paul, are probably going to go to this replay, but because that's what we do, we're following Newcastle United. But it was a strange comment. I think if the draw is the worst case scenario, just fucking win the game. Just put the full strength team out. And while I have sympathy in it, and I understand why not. I thought, looking at that team that we put out yesterday, looking at the fact that Blackburn made only one change, and they've been in reasonable form recently, suggested that a draw was a reasonably likely result. So if it was the worst possible result, it's a strange one. I mean, when you saw the team sheet, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I found out the team in a bit of an old school fashion. I actually couldn't get signal on my phone outside the ground, so I found out the team like over the tannoy, which was really harking back to when I first used to go to the game. So just seeing all the changes, they were expected, I suppose. We're getting like dribs and drabs of team news like pretty much all this week, really seeing expected long staff to play, and they're just going to rest Rondon and all that kind of thing. So I was just like, I was a bit disappointed for the lads. I mean, they're only 3 year old, but like, you want to see like the main players in the team. But I thought it would sort of like make the game level, as you just alluded to there, and it might make for an interesting cup tie. But I was probably. I probably took your point there. I would have preferred to seen a few more first teamers in there and try and get the job done early doors, and then make the subs, you know, later on in the game once it's won, so to speak. But probably just expected really the team, not wasn't really disappointed or anything like that, but just like as you'd expect, so to speak.
Tough for the manager, because we're not gonna win the FA Cup this year. We'll have to stay in the league, though it's becoming less and less apparent why we'll have to stay in the league the longer the club isn't taken over. In terms of the club's long-term future. I kind of looked at our lineup when I saw a mixture of lads who simply aren't good enough for the top level. You'd put Hosolu, Mankio, Sterry, Jacob Murphy in there. Promising youngsters, Woodman and Longstaff. And then you've got first teamers in the likes of Matt Ritchie, Shaw, Kennedy, Hayden, who's also not good enough, but you know, has been playing reasonably well for the first team since he's come back in the once away. And then you've got the returning hero in Lejeune, who was fantastic and kept Newcastle in the game. That was pretty much the only positive from last night, apart from seeing him score a pen, was Florian Lejeune's return. He walks into the first team for me.
Without doubt. He looked good, and he just wasn't carrying any of this season's baggage, was he? He looked ready to go back in the first team without doubt. Comping up to take a free kick at the end as well. Which though he did go over the bar. I looked at my nephew and said as well, well, we think it was better than Shelby's recent efforts. He's trying to knock the Sports Direct signs off the. Off the Gallagher end.
It was that far out that I think he hit it hard enough that it would have, if it was on target in where he wanted to go, it wouldn't have gone in, whereas Shelby's have been either just dreadfully shite or the keeper saved them quite comfortably. So at least he was having a bit of a go. But was there anyone else from that whole turgid affair that came out with any credit for you?
I thought Longstaff started quite well. Looked quite tidy in midfield, and I would like to see a bit more from him, in terms of like maybe getting a bit of a chance. If Hayden wants away, if he gets away in January, then it's probably going to be him that we're looking at. So I thought he'd done all right, and he probably did fade a little bit. But other than that, I'm struggling really for positives in terms of performance, like. Woodman, first time I've seen him, he was okay when to like save a shot, but whenever a cross came in, he flapped in that. He was always looking to sort of punch, but I think that might be down to his size. Other than that, I don't know. I'm struggling to think of any sort of positive performances. Really, I mean Richie, he showed his usual endeavour. But I don't know. It just the whole game like lacked that bit of quality. Like,
totally agree. Kennedy started brightly in the number 10 position and then faded very badly. Ended up back out on the left. Again, he just doesn't seem capable at the minute. Sure, had a bad game. Give away some silly fouls. Didn't give away the foul for the goal. Hayden was poor against lower league opposition. Mancure was dreadful. I thought Sterry was really poor. He doesn't look good enough. Jacob Murphy had, you know, I've been calling for the inclusion of Jacob Murphy in recent years recent weeks. And I can absolutely see why based on that form, he's nowhere near the first team or the bench.
Well, I was when he got subbed, I forgot he was playing, and he had that one shot in the second half that was well over the bar at the Gallagher end. But other than that, I was just like, he was anonymous, totally.
Yes, very disappointing night. I mean, I quite enjoyed the opening 10 minutes because we went back to playing four at the back, which is a good sign for Cardiff at home, because if we're lined up with five at the back against Cardiff City at home, we might as well pack it all in. And played four at the back, and for the first 10 minutes, it was like an open game. And because we make Premier League games such tight, turgid affairs with so few chances at both ends, I quite enjoyed the fact that players could run with the ball in midfield, play the ball to a winger, and you were kind of in the final third already. And Jacob Murphy got two or three balls early on, and just from then you could tell it was going to be a dreadful night for him. But it started off all right. But I mean, Do you think we deserved anything from that? Like, you know, I think most people would say we're pretty lucky to get a draw, even though, like, Woodman hasn't really had to make a save. But Blackburn kind of, to me, dominated the game possession-wise, until the goal anyway. How did you see the game?
Yeah. I thought it was a very sort of championship-like game, which we've seen plenty of times before. It's like pass, 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 and then get the edge of the box. And then it was just like no quality, so then it would just like be the other team's turn. So it was like a bit, well, I say it end to end, but it wasn't like it was like shot after shot or anything like that. But I just totally lacked quality. And I mean, they're probably a bit more used to playing like that. I haven't obviously been in the Championship. We've sort of reverted to this like low possession, hitting teams on the break. And we struggle to string like a few passes together, really. And that's why I think it looks like Blackburn are probably, it appears that they're pushing and probably deserved a little bit more out of the game. We were sort of dependent on the likes of Murphy, Kennedy, to show a bit of individual brilliance, a bit of class, a bit of quality, just to sort of be the sort of the game changers. And that didn't come off, and yeah, I think we probably are a bit lucky to still be in the hat for the next round. But fair play to Blackburn, they've come up and they've played it probably as they have done so the past 5-6 weeks, and if they did sort of get a decent strike, they might be a bit higher in the league. But I'd probably say we are a little bit fortunate to sort of come out of that game not having been defeated.
Yeah, I'll agree. I mean, in the first half, we had, you know, Hostler had an acrobatic effort saved at the back post. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, I think it was Matt Ritchie tested the keeper who spilled it, and Hostler should have buried it, and the keeper got back up to save well. But that's two chances Hostler should have really scored. And I'm sure that's what Rafa would be looking at, thinking, well, we should have been 2-0 up at half time. And in the second half, we had all those chances off the line from one corner. So Blackburn did ride the luck at times, but you know, Tony Mowbray's sides always do play decent attacking, passing football. Doesn't matter what level he's managed at, whether it be in the Champions League or in League One, or League Two even, he's always done it. So yeah, I think Blackburn fair play. They brought 3,000 fans, which is more than I ever saw them bring when they were a Premier League club. They made a fair bit of noise, and they'll be unlucky to have to face us in a replay. I mean, the major issue for me, Paul, is this replay comes directly before the Cardiff game. So are you expecting potentially an even weaker side to face them? Or do you think you'll say, no, we've got... I mean, obviously the draw will mean a lot, because if we get, you know, Gillingham at home, because we know the draw tomorrow, Monday, if we get Gillingham at home, then there's every chance you go through and you're only a couple of games in the quarterfinal. Do you think you'll just go with an even worse team?
Yeah, I think knowing who we could face, that might impact the first team, because it suddenly seems like that. I mean, the league fixture is always most important. In the way about that was set up at the minute as a club, but I think it does depend on results around the game, but I could potentially say like an even further weakened side, because the Cardiff game could be like massive as it being a winnable league game, but I would just like to see like you mentioned earlier on, it's just like just put that strong 11 out and then make the subs once we've scored two or three, but that's we're asking Newcastle United to score two or three goals in the game. It's just doesn't happen very often. It's a difficult one. I think if we've got like a tough draw in the next round, it's just like, well, yeah, you probably might even see most of the under 23s in there. But if it's like if there is a carrot, then maybe we might see a few more first teamers. Lejeune, like I mentioned there before, we're probably going to have to wrap him up in Cottonwell because he may become very important to the back end of the season. But like he's going to need game time, so hopefully he's still in there. What would be your take on it?
My take is I think you'll play an even weakened team. You'll see a lot of the young lads in. If I would like to see a score. I mean, not just because I'm good at the match, but because what better way to prepare for Cardiff than with a win? If you don't, there's a chance of extra time penalties. So play the best team, win the game. Having said that, we'll be doing the match day podcast appearance the way home with Rondon and a broken leg, basically just saying we're relegated. So he's probably the only player I'd wrap up. I think the rest of you've got your midfield too, I suppose, as well, but the rest of them, I'd play the likes of Atsu, Dummett, Yedlin, proper centre back, partnership, possibly Diame. Perez and maybe one of the younger lads centre forwards rather than Hosolu, give them a chance, and if it's not working after 45, bring Rondon on for 45. But I'm sure we'll preview that game for patrons when it comes. So yeah, but like you said, mate, still in the draw, and you had a decent day at St James's with the family. I mean, there was some criticism on social media of people who attended the game, which is exactly what this type of thing is. It's social media. It's like Newcastle social media is desperate for a boycott or some sort of direct action, but it's just not reflected in the vast majority of the support. Now, I'm not criticising either camp, but the food kiosks are cut off full every game at St James's. The programme sellers do a roaring trade. Tickets are sold. There just isn't the kind of militant or desire for direct boycotts or whatever you want to call it just doesn't exist in real life. You saw that with the 11-minute walk-in. We did it. Mm-hmm. It was really badly attended. It just, whoever is trying to organise this stuff, it's not translating from social media to the vast majority of the match going support. Maybe that'll change. Roma don't sign anyone this January, but, for the moment, I mean, I just find it strange that people are saying, oh, what are 36,000 people doing at the match? Because Newcastle are playing and tickets were £10 and not going to that game would, I fail to see what it would affect. Essentially, it was just a strange one for me. I think if you want to go to an FA Cup match, go to an FA Cup.
No, but I totally agree. I seen a bit of stick people are getting in the store, and I thought it's a bit much, because like you say, that crowd yesterday was mainly families basically. I bought a row of eight tickets, and it was there was four juniors in amongst that. And it's just all about if you're not introducing the next generation of fans, then the club ultimately just dies on its arse basically. But I mean, obviously you see Ashley's run the club's pretty much doing that anyway. But I think 36,000 now. I mean, pre level 7, that's classed as a sellout. I understand why people were there, and there was a good contingent in the Strawberry Corner making plenty of noise, it was just a shame. What would have made a better sort of cup tie feeling to it would have had the Blackburn fans being in that large corner in the Leasers, which that's where I expected them to be, But anyway, that's probably going a bit off topic. But yeah, bit harsh to criticise those, like taking the young'uns there. They're probably just looking at like, well, Ashley doesn't know if he's doing wrong, if he's still got people turning up, but people will always turn up, and I think that's just the way it is, I think, when Newcastle United.
Yes, I agree. Though, you know, like, things need to be organised, but there was no organisation to any boycott yesterday, so I found that strange. You know, ultimately, it's just all, if you didn't want to go to the match, just don't go. Don't, you know, shout and scream at other people. If you want to try and organise something, then good luck to you, but... You know, not going to the match and then kicking off on social media that other people went, to me, is a bizarre way to live your life. But, you know, best of luck to anyone who thinks that'll work. Takeover stuff, everyone's favourite subject / least favourite subject at the minute. There was a letter from Peter Kenyon sent to Mike Ashley, which, according to the Chronicle, has been leaked both with the approval of both Mike Ashley and Peter Kenyon. I'll read it out quickly. This is Peter Kenyon and Mike Ashley. I know I speak for both of us in that we continue to share a serious determination to finalise the agreement we have to suit both parties as soon as possible in the new year. We have both spent many months discussing the parameters of a final deal, and as you know, we have also invested heavily in time and money on our various legal and financial advisors. I appreciate the time and effort committed to the detailed discussions by your advisors, lawyers, club, and of course yourself. I fully respect your desire to ensure the next owners of Newcastle United understand the club, the football, and have the appropriate financial resources. I'm delighted that you think the investor group led myself is the best fit. On my side, I'd personally like to assure you that I'm committed to conclude our deal as soon as possible. And while we are both perhaps frustrated that we have not progressed as quickly as we would have wished, I would like to express personal gratitude for your patience and integrity in this matter, and I hope we can continue our discussions in the same spirit. Paul, good or bad news that this letter's come out?
I don't know, because it's the common theme. Well, it's been if there's no news, it's good news. So to get news, it's almost like it's approached with like total conspiracy theories and all sorts. Me personally, I just, the next time I hear from them, I just want to know that the deal's done. I'm not really. I don't want to hear about progress and all that kind of stuff. I just want to hear it done. I'd rather just be in the dark right until that day comes, if and when it happens. Putting letters out and things like that just leaves them open to interpretation. And I'd say people have looked into the source of the letter and what's been said before. Apparently, I read somewhere like the same. It's come from the same source that said Mike Ashley's a good owner for Newcastle United. So I don't know. I sort of take it with a pinch of salt and just sort of move on from it. I moved on from it quite quickly and just I'm just waiting for the day that it happens, really. And just, like I say, more likely that no news is probably good news in a way. I don't know. It's a difficult one because, as you sort of want to hear that there's a feeling inside that you want to hear a bit more and you want to know things are happening, but then on the other hand, you just, it's just like, well, what we're getting fed in the timing as well. It's there's been a few people saying I'm hiring me season ticket direct debits are being cancelled and this comes out at the same time. Is it just sort of apply to placate that? I don't know. Then it gets all very tiresome, and you're just like, oh, it's, can we get back to the football? And then you look at the squad on the pitch and how threadbare it is, and then it's just like you go down another sort of negative spiral of Newcastle United news or non-news, I didn't really know what to make of it, to be honest, because like I say, you go down like. You go down a couple of routes of thought, and then you just you end up no further forward.
Yeah, I agree. It's all a little bit Amanda Staveley. Amanda Staveley was real. She tried to buy the football club, but she never had the asking price. So she made an offer that was always going to be rejected. I think personally, Mike actually should have accepted and fucked off, but it's not up to me. and it's like, I agree with you. I've been enthused by the fact that Kenyon hasn't spoken to any journalists. He hasn't said anything. He's supposedly just been keeping his head down, get this deal done. And then this is, you know, it's just no good. very disappointed in it. I've always thought that the club will be sold. Peter Kenyon is really, he's not been roped in by Mike Ashley to not make you cancel your season ticket. I think that's just fanciful and beyond reason. Yeah. Just cancel it. Do you know what I mean? Like you're in charge of your own destiny. Just cancel your season ticket. Like just do it. You can go back, you know, and uncancel it in a couple of months before the season ends. It's not some kind of final thing when you're paying for next season. It's just bizarre. Some of the stuff I've read online over the past 24 hours about the big direct debit conspiracy. Just fucking cancel your season ticket. Just do it. Like I don't think that Keith Bishop isn't a well connected bloke. He's not what you think he is. He's not some kind of mastermind. The only influence he has no influence over any of the local press pack, the people who cover Newcastle United day to day. His only influence is over people at the Mirror, the Daily Express, the Sun. That's it. Mike Ashley and Lee Charnley aren't that smart to make you do, to force you to cancel your season ticket or not. Just do it. If you're that way minded, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. I personally wouldn't be, I'll probably cancel it at the end of the season when Rafa goes and if Ashley's still here. But, I think it's bad, but I don't think it's anything underhanded or designed to make you keep your season ticket. If we don't sign anyone and you want to cancel your season ticket, just don't sign anyone. You'll know by January the 31st. It's not like a time loop where you can't cancel it. But, if we haven't signed anyone by January the 29th and you're going to cancel your season ticket, if you're that way minded, do it. As me dog comes here, I don't know whether you heard that in the background, and gets in the way, but I think Kenyon's real. I think he wants to buy the club. Does he have enough money to satisfy Ashley's hugely inflated price tag for a mess of a football club? I've no idea. I personally thought this is the end for Ashley because it's not like other relegations. This won't be like other relegations where we've had 2009-10, we had a team good enough to bounce straight back at a walking pace, really, kind of in third gear. And then last time we had, 60, 70 million pounds worth of players, 90 million pounds worth of players to be able to sell. We definitely don't have that. So if we go down next time, there's no cheap options. There's no straight bounce backs. Even if we stay up and Rafa keeps us up and then he leaves, I think this squad is so far behind the rest of the Premier League that unless you can get another world-class manager in, which is unlikely, we'll go down next season instead. So if he wants to sell the football club for anything like £250-plus million, this is the time to do it. That's just an opinion.
Definitely.
He is a fucking idiot at the end of the day, and he's defied logic many times, so there's that. Today, Paul Martin Hardy, who is a well-respected journalist and doesn't print rubbish, has reported that the club have offered Rafa a one-year extension to solve the transfer deadlock that exists at the club. Your thoughts on that?
I don't know. It's been said before, though. I know. I respect Martin Hardy, but I don't know if he's been sort of fed a line there, because apparently Rafa's never had a contract offered to him. If it is, then I think he'd be absolutely mental to take it. Is Ashley really, is he that redeemable now? If he suddenly just spends 100 million in January, does that make everything all right? I don't think it does. So I'd be very surprised if Rafa took that. But I suppose you never know. But it's a difficult one again, because as much as I'd want him to stay in the long term, under new ownership, he's the glue that's keeping everything together, as the status is now. There's almost a train of thought that thinks the sooner Rafa goes, the better in a way, because that way things might sort of implode to the point where Ashley would have to go because he wouldn't be in this league, which is the cash cow that he chases, and when I say chase, he just sits and collects it basically. But so I don't know if it's even a good thing. Imagine Rafa signing it and just keeps things going as it is. It's if people are frustrated enough for just to it's just going to keep happening, keep going, and keep extending that frustration and extending like the malaise that's on the club at the minute. I don't know. It just seems like a bit of a stick and plaster over an absolute gaping wound for me. Like,
yes, I'll not add too much to that. Spot on. I think Rafa would be mad to sign anything with these people after what they've done. They've learned nothing from their previous relegations. Absolutely nothing. In fact, if anything, they've managed to get worse, because if you look at the relegation of 15-16, at least they recognised the shit we were in and went out and improved the team, and they did improve the team. Not enough, but, you know, Townsend made an impact, Shelby made an impact, albeit not as much as Townsend. And yet, here we are, 6th of January, nowhere near signing any players. The manager clearly furious about it all still. And the fact that there's even a transfer standoff is just fucking laughable. The standoff is, you know, buying players of a certain age. Just all this shite that we've had for years and got us relegated last time. So it's very depressing.
It is. Well, they obviously think they're doing a great job in that. So there's nothing really changed. So they claim, well, Rafa can, you know, he can go out and scout players, and then he'll give them a list and that, and they've got to fit these boxes that they've set, and if they don't, they just don't get bought. Well, but yeah, but we've been relegated like a number of times underneath your stewardship. It's like, where's the lessons being learned? You're still in day one of the job, and you've got this idea, and it's like, no, we're 12 years on, and there's been no progress made under you. And it's like going through this method. I can't for the life of us see Rafa actually signing up. If he does, then you've got to question his sanity, like. But because that's already been pushed to the brink, because you can tell he just looks absolutely fed up with it.
Yes, we all are. And I think that's it for this week for the True Faith podcast. Nice cheery episode for everybody. I'm sure next week's free podcast post Chelsea will be even better. But thanks very much for listening, and thanks for sticking with the True Faith podcast. We're all very grateful, and we've got loads of shows planned this week for patrons, and me and Paul and anyone else who's around next week. There's about 8 of them going to Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, so it'll not be me and you, I think, Paul, but the lads and lasses who are down there. Thanks for listening to the True Faith podcast. Paul, thanks for your time, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Cheers.